It's that time of the day. It's the 4th Street Sports Show. Let's get it.
Welcome back to 4th Street Sports Show. I'm your host, Steven Mixon, on this beautiful Thursday afternoon. Here from Nathan's apartment once again. We are not in Pensacola anymore, unfortunately. Back in Hattiesburg. Along with Jackson. Jackson, thank you for joining us on this podcast today, because you've missed a lot of stuff.
Yeah, it's good to be here. We've been here catching up with all you Florida men, so that's been fun to hear about.
And we just got sent the starting rotation for this weekend. It hasn't changed. Tanner Hall, Matthew Adams, and Nico Mazza. That was that little thing you just heard. So just a little preview on this weekend. We'll be getting to that in a second. Tanner Hall, Matthew Adams, Nico Mazza will be your starters, as always. I'm joined on my left by Nathan Lee. How you doing today, Nathan?
Yes, sir. I'm doing well, man.
Charlie Luttrell over there in the corner. How we doing?
Pretty good. Pretty good. Not Florida good, but
similar.
And as always, Jackson Howell, as we just introduced. How we doing?
Good.
Good. And I'm David Mixon. So, you know, we got a cool show lined up for you today. Going to hit some rapid-fire questions. Going to talk a little baseball, obviously, because that is the prominent sport right now in Southern Miss Athletics. Now that we wrapped up basketball this weekend, there's some basketball still to be played, which we will get into at the end of this podcast. But let's start baseball. Let's start baseball to start. Southern Miss goes on the road in Oxford this week. This midweek matchup against Ole Miss on the road. They fall 11-5. I know that all of y'all were in class when that game was going on, so I'm not sure how much y'all caught, but just some thoughts.
We were watching it. Yeah, we were all watching it.
Yeah. Well, for me, you know, it was a very competitive game early on, you know. Southern came out strong early. You kind of alluded to it when we talked about it, Demi. You kind of thought it would be more of an offensive battle, and Southern's bats just could not keep up with the very impressive hitting from Ole Miss. But kind of halfway expected. I mean, Southern Miss, it was a midweek. You know, they didn't have any of their star pitchers out there, so they kind of went young into the bullpen. And, you know, it's kind of expected, but it's hard to watch, you know, the struggles that happened during that game when it comes to pitching.
Yeah, when they started kind of or we saw who they were going to start just this weekend, you know, it was like, wow, you're going against one of the toughest teams right now as far as hitting and putting guys who really don't have that much experience. So it was kind of like I see it more of a test, you know. It's just a midweek, if y'all get what I'm saying. No, but I don't know. It's just inexperience versus, you know, some of the toughest guys right now in the nation. So hopefully this can be used as kind of a learning lesson, get those guys to ramp up throughout the season. But as we've said before, you know, just this non-conference schedule and then the conference schedule is tough. There's really not time this year to, you know, ramp up. They need to be going right now, if that makes sense. And what we've seen is, you know, there's just inconsistencies. There's flashes on both sides, pitching and hitting, that they can do, and fielding, that they can do the best, probably one of the best in the country. And then you see flashes that they have some errors that they need to fix up and just get better at. I think that's really what it boils down to, regardless of who they're playing.
Yeah, it feels weird when you give up 11 runs to kind of criticize the hitting, but it seemed like they had their opportunities. They had the bases loaded in the first inning, only scored one run. That was off an error. I think they stranded two more in the second inning, but I believe it was the sixth inning. They had the bases loaded, one out. They were able to score four runs, Slade Wilkes at the plate. What other guy would you want up there? And he hits into a double play. You know, they had a lot of opportunities, a lot of men left on base. It feels weird to rag on that when you give up 11 runs, but we all kind of knew about the inexperience of this pitching staff, the loss of Billy Oldham. They're really missing that, and we're just kind of starting to see just how thin this pitching staff is. If one guy goes out, you're in trouble, because you want to save your best guys for the weekend, but you also have to at least look respectable in your midweek games. That helps RPI, and this would have certainly helped all of that if they were able to pull it off this week. But, yeah, just a lot of missed opportunities. That's been the story of Southern Miss so far.
I mean, I would say they looked really respectable. Like, it was a fight through more than half of the game. So that really shows you that even with these problems that we're saying, they're close. And it's just a matter of, I think, when and how they find out what they need to find out.
I think we hold them to a higher standard because of how last year went. Yeah. So we're still kind of waiting on them to piece it all together, so to speak, because they were winning these games last year.
Yeah, if Slade hits one of those and that into the gap, that's a game. Yeah. You know, I mean, it was 8-5 at that point. If Slade hits a double, it's 8-7 with runners on second and third with one out. I mean, you know, that I mean, it's a game at that point. Then you have, you know, Danny Lynch coming up along with Blake Johnson coming up just a sack fly to tie the game. So, one thing about that game, I did make the trip. I was there in Oxford, as if you followed our coverage, you know. Ole Miss's lineup is really good. Like, that's just the bottom line. That's probably going to be the best lineup Southern Miss faces this entire season, in the regular season. You know, you have four guys who's batting in the 400s right now on their team. Jeez. And then everybody else is in the 300s except for Ethan Legg, who's their nine-hole hitter, who has, by the way, a home run and four RBIs and 11 hits. So he's batting at 234. So that's still pretty good. In comparison to Southern Miss's lineup, a 234 would be fifth in the lineup on Southern Miss. So Ole Miss's worst player would be Southern Miss's fifth best hitter right now. So that's in comparison of how good Ole Miss's lineup is. One thing I was noticing on the field was every time, you know, you go to a baseball game and they have like the stats coming up on the scoreboard, and it, like, all of these guys for Ole Miss have multiple home runs this season.
Yeah.
Gonzalez, 2. Groff has 3. Calvin Harris has 2. Chatagnier has 4. Kemp Alderman has 5. And for Southern Miss, you know, you have 3 guys right now without a home run. And then you have a couple guys with 1. Slade has 2, and Sargent has 2. And Sargent's had been basically your most inconsistent player right now. So I know a lot of people are going to criticize the pitching, but to give up only 11 runs, I mean, with that type of 11 runs is a lot, but to give up 11 runs with that good of a hitting team, to still scratch across 5, you think if Southern Miss's offense was just as, at least somewhat as good as Ole Miss's, they would be able to compete in that game. And I think that's the problem right now, that Southern Miss has left an ungodly number of people on base so far this season. Yeah. Like, just a ridiculous amount.
Mm-hmm. It's really been a problem last couple of years.
Like, I think it's at like 79 or something right now. Like, it's a insane number. Because it was like 48 during the Illinois series or something.
My gosh.
Or 38, something like that. But we were talking about it at lunch today with some of my buddies. And I was talking to them, and I was telling them, if you even put half of those runs across, you know, like, this is a whole nother record. This is a whole nother team. And so once they're able to do that, this team is really dangerous, even without their pitching abilities.
Yeah, I think it's 100% true for me. You know, they talked about it in the beginning of the year, you know, they really thought they would take a step forward with their hitting, and it's just, you see flashes, but it's the consistency that everyone's looking for. And I think that's consistency overall is the biggest thing. But no, you hit it right on the money, Dima. I can't really refute anything you just said.
Yeah, exactly. And I mean, I don't know. You can't really give pitching a pass for giving up 11 runs. Like, as good as they are, you got to hold them under 10 runs in that situation, but it just speaks to the
I just don't know if that's realistic with the midweek pitching right now, though.
That's another point altogether. Mm-hmm. See, you can make the point that Ole Miss has a really good lineup, but you can't give up 11 runs and have a realistic chance at all. So,
yeah, Southern Miss's lineup is not equipped to get, especially not against an SEC school.
Yeah, definitely not.
So, you got to hold them to, if you're, what I was saying on Twitter the other night was Southern Miss is going to get, I mean, Ole Miss is going to get their runs.
Yes.
You're not going to hold them to 0. I mean, you're going to, so you need to give up 6 or 7 because you can compete with that. Once you're getting up there 9, 10, 11, 12, then you're really asking your offense to do a lot. And I think that, you know, now currently this offense is still trying to find their way in some areas where you didn't even expect them to have to find their way. You know, you were expecting Sargent to come out and have a really good season. That's not happened right now. You're expecting Carson Pato to get more than one home run in the first however many games, 12 games, you know, and that's not happened. You're expecting you know, Reese Ewing to be able to hit it out. You know, you're expecting Danny to be batting better than a 180 right now. So a lot of things you're expecting from Southern Miss that's not happening. So I do think that while all the talk is on the pitching, you do got to put some pressure on this offense to start figuring it out.
Definitely.
Yeah.
I've tweeted out this for people to reply with their thoughts, and a lot of the after the game, a lot of the stuff was about this midweek pitching, and I really do think the loss of Billy Oldham in earlier in the season against Illinois, that has been a really big deal. I think if you pitch Billy Oldham against State last week, they win. I think if you pitch Billy Oldham against Ole Miss on Tuesday night, they definitely hold them fewer than 11 runs.
Yeah.
Scott Barry said that they're expecting Billy Oldham to be playing this weekend. Jackson, how big of it is to get him back and going in the lineup?
You definitely got to get him going. I know, I believe Tuesday he said pregame that he was going to be available for an inning if need be, but he didn't really want to. That's a guy you got to get going. That's your midweek starter, and really, he's going to be a key piece in that bullpen going forward. I saw on Twitter there was a little bit of discourse. Our friend Andrew Abadie was tweeting at some fans and stuff. And, you know, the fan rightly said, you know, why do you have your midweek starter come in the bullpen on a weekend? And I think that's, you know, that's an interesting point to make. Is there a correlation with the injury? You know, we don't know. So that's something they're going to have to kind of calm down a little bit. The loss of him, like, you were at the New Orleans game, Dima. I mean, he looked like a stud. He had a no-hitter going. Did he finish with a no-hitter?
Yeah, he did.
Yeah. So,
I mean, that's really the only time we've seen him start. That is the only time we've seen him start.
That was the only time he started. He had a couple bullpen appearances here and there. That's just a guy that they've missed. He's got kind of got that veteran presence. I mean, he's just a guy they need. And without him, it's really exposing the youth and inexperience of that bullpen.
Yeah, 100%. And, you know, it's just one of those things, man. You know, we've said it all year, all season, all off season. So I don't want to just harp on that point. I think Jackson hit it right on the money, and I'm not going to act like I know anymore about this situation. You know, I haven't really been able to come out to all the games as much as y'all have. So, no, great points by Jackson there.
Yeah, so you really feel like once Southern Miss is hitting okay, let me just put it this way. Let's all answer this. What are you more concerned about with Southern Miss baseball right now, the hitting or the pitching?
Pitching. Man, I think the hitting has I see an opportunity to grow in hitting. It's just the confidence they've had since the off season, since media day to now, it just feels like that might have a more likely chance to turn around, in my opinion. So I'm a little bit more nervous about pitching.
I want to go, you know, obviously we all have such high expectations for pitching, and there have been problems, uncharacteristic problems too. But then I'm going to start putting the pressure on the hitting too, because like we said, even with those problems, they were in line to compete and even beat Ole Miss. And because and State. And really it came down to leaving runners stranded on the base and then, you know, going flat at the bottom of the order. I think even you could argue even against Illinois, if they could keep up, you know, with them, they would have been able to compete. It's so hard to, you know, put pressure on just one side of a team, because it's really a lot of different factors going on. But I think you do have to put pressure on the hitting, because if you're not going to be able to replicate what you had last year
with
this year's squad.
Is putting pressure on the hitting being concerned with the hitting?
I would be concerned with the hitting, okay, because you know you can make it work. These are all got.
Here's the deal. This is Southern Miss baseball. They need more than two players above 250 right now.
And these are guys that you've had. Yeah. Like, pitching, you know that they're inexperienced. Mm. You should be concerned with the guys that have been in this program and aren't delivering right now to where they should be.
To kind of counter that a little bit, since you've seen these guys in the program, we know what they're capable of. We know what they can do. To kind of borrow a kind of football term here, you know, I don't want X's and O's. I want Jimmys and Joes. Mm. And we know on the hitting, they got Jimmys and Joes. They've got guys that have been in big situations. At the bottom of the lineup, Danny Lynch and Christopher Sargent. Who would have expected them to be down there? You know, those are two of your – Danny Lynch, a captain. Christopher Sargent, certainly a team leader right there. But pitching's really just a mystery. You know, you don't know what you have right now. Obviously, the starters are good, particularly Tanner Hall, and then Matthew Adams just had a career day. Nico Mazza has good stuff as well. But just in that back end, if you need to finish out a game, you don't know what you have. And that's why I'm more concerned, because Christian Ostrander, pitching coach, he can coach him up whatever he, however he can. He's got the X's and O's, but eventually you got to have Jimmys and Joes, and we just don't know if they have that right now, plain and simple.
Yeah, I'm going to say pitching. I agree with Charlie that the hitting is a concern. Mm-hmm. It is a, you know, but to me, what is more likely to get going? Mm-hmm. And I think it's hitting. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think the hitting is the most likely. Once they find it, oh my gosh.
And that's why you're concerned, because you're like, hey, if we're gonna go to Omaha this year, you know, we gotta be able to find it quick.
It is so really early. But like Jackson says, the pitching, even if they find two or three guys who can do well in the Sun Belt, we are not seeing anybody excel against the teams they're gonna be facing in a regional, super regional, and like Charlie's saying, Omaha even potentially. We have not seen that. And the bottom line is that nobody has been consistent outside of Cross Sively. I mean, he's probably been the best person coming out of the bullpen this whole season, and I think that'd be hard to argue against.
Yeah.
You know, even players, the veteran players who we expected to come out of the bullpen and play well, Justin Storm being an example, he has not pitched overly well the times he's come in. He pitched pretty well against State a couple weeks ago, but other than that, you know, just uncharacteristic things from the bullpen. But you feel like if they can just figure it out a little bit, like we've said, I really feel like you got to trust that the hitting will figure it out. Mm-hmm. And, you know, nobody expects Southern Miss to be batting like Ole Miss. That is an insane lineup. But you want better than six players right now batting under 250. Yeah. I mean, that's not good. That's really bad.
So, and they talked about that number in media day they really want to reach, and they're nowhere close to that.
Right.
And if I could just make a quick point on Justin Storm real quick. Like, he's one of the veterans that they expect to take over, but really, he's not that experienced in a game, right? Obviously, his coming out party was the LSU game last year in the regional. But before that, he didn't have very many innings during the season, and they expect him to be kind of the anchor of the bullpen. And he's struggled a little bit with that. He's been serviceable, but, you know, that is a change. And it's asking a lot to ask somebody to go from a guy you seldom use to your anchor. Same with Nico Mazza. Nico's been able to – I mean, he's had some long outings, right? Mm-hmm. A lot of walks early on because he just hasn't done that yet. And this is where Scott Barry, he would agree with this. This is where you got to see guys grow up. Mm-hmm. And he's hoping that this tough schedule, playing Mississippi State and Ole Miss and back-to-back midweeks, this is where – it's where the bright lights shine, right? And you got to have your younger guys grow up, and your older guys that haven't been in that spot, they got to grow up as well.
Yeah, if you don't learn from those two games, you're not going to learn from anything, you know?
The crazy thing, last thing I'll talk about the pitching, is that just looking at major pitching statistics, lots of the stats categories, they're still around the top 25, which is in line of the kind of program they still are. And it's kind of in comparison, like we were saying, you know, going back to last year, always comparing against that standard, like that's the standard now. And even though these early struggles, you know, have shown some problems with the pitching staff, they're still like around the ballpark of where they should be. I think the one, though, the watch out, it was the strikeout to walk ratio. That was like their thing. They were best at it, the best in the country at. They weren't giving up walks, and now they are. And of course, that translates to more runs. And I think really, I don't have the number on how many, you know, how many runs that probably has translated from just from the walks, but it's been a lot more, probably considerably more than last year at this point of the season too.
Yeah, last year they were Easily top three.
Yeah, two, I think they finished two in the NCAA last year.
And strikeout to walk ratio. Behind Tennessee.
Behind
Tennessee,
And that was,
They're around 50 right now.
Yeah, which is just a stark contrast to what you're used to seeing. And I will say this, we might be overreacting a little bit to the midweek series, but we don't know just how good of a lineup Dallas Baptist is this year, but pitching did really well against them. They blanked them the entire series. Liberty, it was kind of the same thing. It's just the Illinois series and then those two midweeks against the SEC teams. It's really caused concern around here.
When they've lost is what it's caused concern.
But everybody's
happy when
A couple days ago, you know, Dallas Baptist is,
we're back to Omaha, baby.
Yeah. Well, even when they stole that one from Illinois, they were still concerned.
They definitely should have been swept by Illinois.
Yes.
They got 100%. Insanely lucky. Okay, so Southern Miss Baseball is going to be welcoming, Valparaiso. All right, we're calling him Valpo for the rest of this podcast. Yeah. So, series with Valpo, you know, I'm not going to sit here and pretend like I know much about Valpo baseball, but what I do know is that Valpo, this is their 12th straight game away from home. So they have not played a home game all season. So this is the first time they're going to be facing a ranked team in Southern Miss at number 22 in the country. As we mentioned at the beginning of this podcast, Tanner Hall, Matthew Adams, Nico Mazza, your starters for Southern Miss from the mound. I don't think anything less of a sweep is expected this series. Kind of expected. This was kind of like, you know, Southern Miss has probably played one of the more tougher schedules in the country so far. And this is kind of the weekend that you would think that it's kind of like, oof, they can kind of relax and figure out some stuff this weekend.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, this is one of those series that, you know, you never want to overlook an opponent, but it's kind of one of those ones where you get your footing, you know, and you never sleep on an opponent, like I just said, but, you know, there's no reason they should have too many struggles in this one.
Yeah, Valpo, you look at them 6-4. They started 6-2. They started with a series loss against Kansas, and then they were able to sweep UT Martin. They took the first two at Arkansas Little Rock, but their last two games, an 18-8 loss in seven innings at Arkansas Little Rock, and then a 12-2 midweek loss against Mississippi State. So this is a team that's definitely trending downward, and you hate to say another get-back series for the Golden Eagles, but that's exactly what this is before conference play.
Yeah, and I feel like it's just been an up and down. Like we were saying, you know, the narrative kind of changes or just the feelings change whenever they lose. So, you know, heading into the conference schedule, just a sweep would be huge, you know. Think of if they showed out against Dallas Baptist and just, you know, got, you know, lost that series. What would the feeling now be? It's been just up and down. Of course, the midweeks have been really, really tough games. They're trying to build their RPI, of course. So I just feel like get a sweep here. You're headed in the right direction again. You just have that confidence going in, and it's really just cleaning up things from this point.
Valpo this weekend, Southeastern Louisiana next weekend for their next week on Tuesday for their midweek in a game where some of us can probably be like, all right, well, we don't have to face a good SEC school for a midweek game. And then you go to that road series with Texas State next weekend. So we have our first rapid fire question from Jackson Kennedy, friend of the pod. Looking at the trajectories of each school, USF now looks a lot like Ole Miss at this point last year. Is it unrealistic to still have hopes for Omaha? No, it is not unrealistic.
Early, you know, it's one of those things where it's like, it's baseball. It's, we've said it before the season. It's all about the team that's hot and maybe not the team that's the best team. You know, we saw it last year with Tennessee. I mean, that roster was absolutely ridiculous, but, you know, they just got caught by a hot team. So, you know, it's never unrealistic to say a team can't make Omaha this early.
Yeah, and I was really thinking about the story of Ole Miss last year. Lots of kind of inexperience on the mound for them last year, just clicked at the right time. Of course, I'm not going to say it's going to happen to Southern Miss, but they have the pieces. And like I was just saying, they're still in the ballpark of top 25 teams, and they're trying to build their the status of their program, and with honestly less resources. You think of all these other schools, you know, you're talking about schools like LSU and Tennessee, they're able to compete now more just because of the portal recruiting, things like that.
They reload.
And yeah, Southern Miss has been able to steadily build with the talent around Mississippi, really. You know, Mississippi is one of the best states, if not the best state for college baseball right now. And the fact that we have, let's say, Group of Five, I know lots of people don't like that, but program able to compete after being pretty much poached from pitching standpoint last year, and even in the transfer portal, to be around that still against some of the toughest teams in the country right now, they're good. They're good.
Yeah, I think that's kind of ridiculous. So coming into last season on March 9th. So what day is it today? March 8th? Okay, March 9th. It's actually March 9th today. Summers was 9-3 last year. And right now they're 8-4. And they've played and they've played like ridiculous opponents. I mean, this is a ridiculous schedule. Then they went to Dallas Baptist and got swept. So they were coming out of the Dallas Baptist series 10-6. And
yeah, I remember people were like, oh.
Yeah, and Southern Miss went on to like host a regional, so calm down.
Marathon.
Take a breath.
Calm down. This is a ridiculously tough schedule throwing out freshman pitchers for.
Yep.
And you finally get this sort of break in the schedule. You get past a gauntlet of Liberty, Illinois, Dallas Baptist, your midweeks has State and Ole Miss. I mean, that's a gauntlet.
You
man.
Should be like battle hard
yeah.
now.
Yeah, 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 show honestly. Up like, so might be their advantage.
You get Valpo this weekend. You get Southeastern Louisiana, who's actually a pretty good ball club. By
the way. They're scrappy. Yeah, they always give them trouble. Yeah.
So that'll be a good game. You go to Texas State next weekend in San Marcos. That is going to be a good series. And then you get New Orleans on the road, who you just obliterated a couple weeks ago. And then you get ready for Georgia Southern, which is going to be a really, 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 really great series. Yep. Like, that is going to be a huge series in the end of March. And then you get Ole Miss, and then Troy, who's undefeated. So
they just lost, actually.
Oh, they just lost. Okay. Well, you know, so you enjoy this break. Southern Miss, get some wins. And yes, Omaha is still plausible. That's a ridiculous question to think that, like, oh, they're 8-4 and they were 9-3 last year at this point. Like, oh, no, Omaha, no, no more. You know, now you can look at it in the sense of like pitching. Could that pitching staff get them to Omaha? I don't know. Mm, yeah. Like, I would say no right now. You know,
yeah.
Is the hitting going to be able to get them to Omaha? Yeah, maybe if it gets hot, they could. You know, but no, I think that. But if you're going to compare it to Ole Miss last season, Ole Miss was actually very good to start the season. Mm-hmm. Like, why they were number one in the middle of March. And then they played Tennessee and got swept or something.
Yep.
And then they just fell off.
Yeah.
Like, they were number one for a while. Mm-hmm. And so, I think, like, early in the season. So, okay. So, we talked a while on that. So, we're going to go ahead and pick this weekend series. Last weekend, I think we all picked Southern Miss to win the series, right? So we were all correct on that.
Yeah, and you called the sweep.
I did call the sweep. I was pretty bold. So sometimes I'm bold.
For integrity purposes, I picked Dallas Baptist to win.
Oh, you did?
Oh, you did.
Okay, I don't remember that. Sorry.
Fraud.
Yeah.
At least he's honest. All right, so let's give our picks for Valpo. Who wins the series and in how many games? Let's go Jackson, Charlie, Nathan, and me.
Sweep.
Get the brooms out.
We'll go with the sweep.
Yeah, I'm pretty confident in a sweep after the Dallas Baptist series.
I will go with the sweep as well. We're picking sweep across the board, so
that's never
that good. Is not good. Somebody's picked 2-1 or something.
Austin picked 2-1.
Yeah, okay. Austin picks 2-1.
All right, so that is our baseball talk. We just went a half hour on that, so
what?
We get to talking, and you know, we find stuff to talk about. So yeah. We still got a lot of stuff to cover, but we'll be right back after this break on the 4th Street Sports Show with Nathan, Charlie, Jackson, and Diva Mixon.
Mo Dogs, that's really what it is, bro.
This is 4th Street, and we got Mo Dogs on 88.5 this year.
Back on 4th Street with Nathan, Charlie, and Jackson. That was our baseball kind of preview. Let's get into some fun questions here from... I did not write who sent this question in, but apparently we have this question. So, what is your favorite sports video game, and you can't say NCAA football?
Like, are we going specific year or just like series?
All time.
I think year. I think
year series. Specific. I got you. Mm.
And not NCAA football?
Not NCAA.
I'm going to say you can say it, but I feel like all of us are going to say
I'm going to let y'all go first. I've got a bit of an oddball answer.
He's going to be like NHL.
I'll go number one, Wii Sports.
Wait, what?
I'll go number one, Wii Sports.
Oh, yeah. I like
Wii Sports Resort was a good one.
Yeah. That was a good one.
But like also 2K 13 and 16, all-time tier, and then Madden 6 and 11. That'll be my answer.
Madden 11 is definitely top tier. My favorite 2K, only because it got me into the 2Ks. It's not the best 2K, but my favorite just because it got me in the game, 2K12 with Jordan on the cover. Loved that game. That one got me into 2K. But yeah, I mean, NCAA is up there too, but I gotta go. I gotta go those two. UFC 4, it's not bad, but it's a little buggy sometimes.
I am going to go with Mario Super Sluggers. Look, I was a Nintendo kid growing up.
The Little League baseball games were fun, too.
Like, it's all Mario characters and, like, Donkey Kong. It's just a fun game. Like, I play it with my friends to this day. Yeah. To this day on my Wii. And, yeah, it has stood the test of time. I wanted to make another one so bad, but yeah. Yeah, like I was a college football guy growing up. I never had anything past the PS3. Yeah. Like Xbox or PlayStation or anything like that. And you can't really play Madden on Nintendo. So, yeah, I'm going to go with Mario Super Sluggers.
I remember that game. That's a really fun game. I'm going to say this is tough. It's actually really tough.
Tough question.
I like Madden 11, and that was really fun. That's a great game.
Gus Johnson.
I love Drew Brees with the intro, and I liked the I remember playing that for hours as a kid. Oh,
the loading screen was like a camera too.
So sick. But I like MLB The Show too, as y'all know. Yeah, I played that like crazy in Pensacola. Yeah. The other thing, that's just, for some reason to me, that's just an addicting game, bro.
It is.
And it looks so boring when you're watching
it. No, it really does. And the mechanics.
Me and Austin had a crazy game down in Pensacola. He's like two outs on the top of the ninth, and he hit back-to-back homers. And it was crazy. So
I will say, like, one of the coolest things I did was when I lived in McCarty a couple of years ago, I created a Southern Miss dynasty again because in that design at the Rock, you can actually see McCarty Hall. And it was like I was looking outside, like my room was facing the Rock. And I don't know, it was just cool.
NCAA like, football.
Yeah, the detail.
You really can't beat it. I mean, so I was trying to say something other than that, but when you can like take Akron to the national title.
It's so fun.
I mean,
yeah. And the detail they put into
the recruiting.
If you're online, you can get all the new stuff from teams now and stuff. Yeah. It's so fun.
Oh, man. If they made a new NCAA basketball.
Oh, those did used to go pretty hard.
Man.
I remember that. What was it called? It was like March Madness 06.
Well, yeah, they had that too.
Yeah, that one.
Slept on game, they only made it 1 year, was NFL head coach. And it was just, it had Tony Dungy on the cover. And it was.
I wish they had college baseball.
God, that'd be kind of interesting.
That'd be awesome. NCAA baseball. They had a lot
of opportunities.
Yeah, with NIL. The new football game's coming out like next year.
2024.
21 June.
Yeah, they're having so many problems with it because of NIL and everything.
At least it'll be in just in time for the 12-team playoff, though, to be put in the game.
Yeah, I think that's half the reason why they waited is just so they can just have it ready.
I made a promise to myself I would buy a new generation console whenever the college football game comes out.
You still got a year, brother.
We're almost there. Maybe 2 years, maybe 5 years.
PS6
we'll see.
Is going to come out.
It's like GTA 6. It's going to come out when we're 80. You know,
it's been 84 years.
You know, we're going to like call Jackson when he's 75. So how's that PS42 going? Okay, so fun question there. Cloverleaf Mall, friend of the pod, asks us two questions here. What is your favorite Southern Miss interview you've done so far? Who and why?
Yeah, I can't even remember all of mine. I feel like there's definitely been some funny moments that aren't popping from the top of my head. But I will say Juan Cardona from this year sticks out just because of how fun he was just to have in the studio. But also, man, there's been a lot. I think Sandra Spott's story last year, unfortunately, was pretty crazy. She was told that she would never run again after she was in a car wreck on a vacation. And then she went back and had the best season of her career. So
that's pretty cool.
We've heard some really cool stories.
Wow.
Yeah, I guess the one that really rings for me, I mean, I haven't been around 4th Street as long as some of y'all, so I know the one that I remember very, very much so was the Will Hall one. Yeah. I thought that was just cool to see, you know, the non-coaching side of Will Hall. Mm-hmm. So it was kind of more of a personable person instead of all the coach talk. So that was kind of one of those, the ones that stuck with me. But Juan Cardona in studio, that one was fun. It was kind of like one of those ones where it's like, got to see it to believe it, and then you got to see it. So was one of the fun things about when Juan came in.
Yeah, I agree with those. I feel like any time Coach McNellis has come on the show, it's been a fun time. One I will go with outside of 4th Street, I interviewed Jeremy McClain after the exit agreement between Southern Miss and Conference USA came out. Led me in his office, was really gracious. I think it was pretty good. It wasn't like for video or anything. It was just on that story, but that was pretty memorable for me. But Will Hall is probably like my top answer because – that was just wild.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Personally, for me, like, I have, you know, like y'all know, I've been around Southern Miss for a long time, and mm-hmm. I've seen a lot of things. And, like, I know some of the interviews I would have liked to have been at. But for me, I think just seeing the happiness on the players' faces and the way Coach Berry was talking about it after Southern Miss won the Hattiesburg Regional, that interview, man, it was like, we broke through. We did it. Mm-hmm. And it was like, for me, as being a Southern Miss baseball fan for ever since I've been doing this, or ever since I've been like, I've known, and, you know, now that we're a part of media and stuff, we have to kind of put that fandom aside, obviously. But for me personally, just to see that, to actually see with my own eyes, because, you know, I was like 6 when they went to Omaha. That was the last time they even ever won a regional. Mm-hmm. And for me to like watch it and the way it happened, the way it did, and the way I was able to like cover last season and being able to like be there for practically every game last season, especially every home game. And just to see like when you follow a team that closely and to see them have success, it's hard for you not to like be passionate for them. You're not like being a fan, but you're just happy for them. And the way that interview went was something I just love. But obviously, the Will Hall interview was so cool, man. Mm-hmm. Just to kind of go in his office and get a personal interview, as you said, Nathan, mm-hmm. and not something that's like after a game, you know, like, because that, while we definitely love that and, you know, respect that, to get more something more personal and just with us and him, that was so cool. Yeah, so that was fun. I also really liked, for some reason, I just always remember when we had the golf team in for 4th Street. That was a really fun one. Yeah, it was just cool to talk to them about that. They were really, really nice. I don't know why that one, always remember that one. Okay, so that was what was our favorite interview we've done so far. I added this question in because game we covered. I meant to reword this question, but I added this question in for us just to answer. What is our favorite Southern Miss? What person in Southern Miss history would we want to interview? It could be current, if you could just get a one-on-one interview, but in Southern Miss history, who would you want to interview?
Man.
Jack Abraham. Oh, I'm just playing.
Ooh. Jack Abraham? Oh, man. You know, I don't know. I think Jamie Collins would be a good one. But also, like, Tory Bowie. I'm thinking along, like, Olympian athlete, you know, like, some of the best athletes to ever play here, like athletic wise, Tory Bowie. Just right now, honestly, just be cool to reflect on our experience.
I guess a current guy that I'm thinking of that was here a few years ago was, and he's kind of made his stamp in the league a little bit. Quez Watkins. That'd be kind of a fun one, you know. I was able to watch him play his entire career at Southern Miss without being a media guy, and then now I get to see him actually get opportunities in the NFL. That's one of the people I thought of off the top of my head.
I'll say it. I want to interview Brett Favre. It's not just for the reasons y'all think. I know there's some things that people say, alleged things. I mean, I'm in sticky territory here, but he's a Southern Miss legend. What he did on the field, like, even take all the recent news aside, like, he's just an interesting figure. I feel like you could get some great stories from him. And then again, you know, if you get the interview with him, ask his take on the recent news and stuff like that. I mean, I think it could make for a great interview, so that's why I'm going to say him.
He hasn't talked because of obviously legal reasons, but if we're being theoretical here, if you get him to talk and not get sued by his team, it would be a great time.
And we're not saying one way or the other, you know, for legal reasons. We're just saying, what's his take? Anyway, Demon, what do you think?
What does he have to say?
Well, I would just go back to what I just said a second ago. I've been a slur miss, you know. I said this to lead up to my answer to this question. So I've been a slur miss, like my grandparents were enriched in slur miss history. My dad, they all went here, all that stuff. And so my favorite Southern Miss memory is when Southern Miss beat Houston in 2011 for the Conference USA Championship. So I would love to have been in that interview room to hear that. Like, because I remember I was at the game. I was sitting in the box. And I remember walking in that stadium and all these Houston fans, y'all don't deserve to be here. All this stuff. You. Get out of here. What are y'all even doing here? And, like, I'll just never forget, it was Jamie Collins. I can't remember who it was, but it could have been Jamie Collins.
He was on a team.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that was.
Maybe it was. I just remember him slinging Case Keenum back about 10 yards. And I was 8, and that was my vivid memory of that game.
That's crazy.
And I remember Tracy Lampley in that game. I remember, obviously, which would be a really cool interview. Austin Davis would be fun. We try to get him on 4th Street,
actually. Austin Davis would be a really cool one.
And but I would just love to be in that locker room and just talking to those players about it. That was like the first championship in however so long, and they got to go to the Hawaii Bowl, all that stuff. So I just really would like to have seen that. And you know, my family is good friends with Larry Fedora, so just to be able to
Fedora would have been a fun
So
because similar to you, I don't mean to cut you off, but like my first college football memory was going to see Southern Miss. It was Fedora's first year.
Yep, me too.
They like blew out UAB like 70-14. That was the same day as the Michael Crabtree play, Texas Tech and Texas. That's like the first memory I have of football. I feel like Larry Fedora would be a good interview. Maybe Ellis Johnson after that. But I definitely agree.
Just a lot of interesting figures, right?
Definitely. Yeah. When you think about it, it's like, oh, wow, there is a lot more than off the top of your head, you know?
For sure. Okay. Let's move on to this question from R.A. Fleiss. Early take on the QB battle. We haven't talked football on this podcast in a while. I don't think any of us have been out to spring practice yet.
No, we have not.
We've just been crazy busy. This is crossover season for not even to mention we cover, you know, pretty much every Southern sports, unlike a lot of other, you know, news organizations in town, except for maybe one of them. But we're covering softball, we're covering baseball, we're covering basketball. So it was really hard crossover season. But now the basketball is kind of going on down, and we'll talk about it in a second. We are having the opportunity to go to spring practice, so hopefully we can get out there before the spring game. But obviously, huge QB battle going on right now. Jackson, you might be a little bit on the know in this, and who's in contention for the job, and just talk about it a little bit. Early take.
Yeah, like y'all, I haven't been able to go yet because I've seemingly had class every time they've had a practice. And if not class, it's a game. But it's definitely a three-man race. I think Zach Wilkie has the head up just because he's got that experience. But I look for Billy Wiles to really compete. Woodhull's talked highly of Holman Edwards as well, the transfer from Houston. But Billy Wiles coming out of Clemson, I've heard he can really sling it. And I feel like that's probably what they're going to look at most. It's probably going to be between him and Zach Wilkie. Zach Wilkie had some flashes last year. Can he build off of that? And you got Billy Wiles, who might be the more talented of the two players, but is he better? We're definitely going to see that going into spring. I think the spring game will tell us a lot. I don't know when they're going to name a starter, whether it's spring game or fall camp. I know last year it was Ty Keyes, like right out of the gate they named him, like first practice, I think. I think it's going to be a different situation this year. I think they're going to give every quarterback an equal opportunity to compete.
Yeah, I really don't know much either. But yeah, I have heard some things just from some people around the team. And it seems to be a good competition. Like, we'll have to get out there and see. But I mean, even before last year, you know, it was open to the fall. Like you said, there's just so much time in between. And the spring game will be interesting for sure.
Yeah.
Just to kind of get the feel of it.
Exactly. No, yeah. And I'm going to come in and say I'm not going to act like I watch these guys and can tell who's the best. But, you know, I've talked to some people, you know, on the team and surrounding the team. And, you know, the biggest thing that I'm hearing is, like, there's just a different energy when you have a quarterback competition like this, you know, when, you know, they loved Ty Keyes, but, you know, he gets injured and you have to bring in another guy. When you have like a QB competition like this and it feels like, you know, it might be more of a two-man race, but when it's like open to three, you know, it kind of gives an opportunity for this team to rally around behind somebody. So it feels like to me from who I've talked to, there's just a good energy with this quarterback competition, and they know the team and this coaching staff is going to pick the right guy that can lead them to wins.
Definitely. All right, so very, very early take on the QB battle. You'll be hearing a lot more about the QB battle, obviously, throughout this spring, but especially next fall, which I'll be bringing you most of that coverage next fall. Let's go to basketball. Obviously, we just got back from Pensacola this week, weekend, on Monday night. And Southern Miss basketball is in position to go to the NIT tournament. Charlie, you were kind of looking at some of the seeding projections. Before you talk to us about that, just so you know, so how the NIT works is they pick out the top. They pick out the top, from what I understand, the top 30. It's 32 teams.
Yeah.
And they put them in regions, 8 per region, and then they seed those.
Yeah.
Yeah.
On per region. So they pick the top 32 teams or the 32 teams in the tournament, and then they separate those teams into 8 different regions based on like geographically and stuff. And then they seed those in the region. So what is Southern Miss's bracketology projection as this will be announced where they're going, who they're playing on Sunday?
Yeah, it's still a lot of conference tournaments are still being played, so it's almost kind of theoretical right now. But obviously, Southern Miss has that automatic bid. We know that, and I think 7 other teams have finished, or 7 other conferences have finished. So we've got Southern Miss, Bradley, Eastern Washington, Youngstown State, Hofstra, if y'all remember that, Saints fans, Morehead State, and Alcorn State as the 7 conferences that have finished yet so far. And really just so what I'm seeing from these people that kind of make the brackets kind of projected, the Barking Crow really has a lot of detailed guesses, I guess you call them, because it's pretty much just guesses right now. Yep. They have Southern Miss and the Providence region. So other ones that I've seen are kind of around the five to seven seed is what I'm seeing. So that kind of leaves it out of the question to host, but I don't know. Like, there's still some that have Southern Miss with the potential to host. I think it just all depends on who they get matched against. It's interesting.
Yeah. So I'm not expecting Southern Miss really to host an NIT game, right? That's not an expectation as of this point. It would be more of a shock, I think, if Southern Miss were to host an NIT game, and definitely not be able to host a second round NIT game. If they host a game, it's going to be it's more than likely going to be the first round, because they would have to be a 4 seed or higher in their region, from what I'm understanding. Which right now, just based on net rankings, since they're basing it based on that instead of the record or whatever, you know, like then Southern Miss is going to have a lot of difficulty, and they may have to go on the road. But what I saw on that, Charlie, was that they're going on the road to maybe UAB, or they might be going on the road to so that's a pretty doable trip for Southern Miss fans or state or whatever.
Which that could change. CUSA conference tournament still going on. Yep. On right now, and obviously lots of other teams are in the mix. We've heard, you know, some other this projection doesn't have any SEC teams, but SEC, obviously a lot of teams could fall into the NIT.
Definitely. All right, well, any final thoughts, gentlemen?
In general?
What are you thinking, Charlie?
Oh, man. I don't know.
I'm just thinking how bad the Saints are.
Oh, this guy.
I was thinking about Michael Thomas, to be fair.
Yeah, Michael Thomas getting that new contract. Yeah.
Well, we'll say...
I want to drop to Metairie. I just want to talk.
I'm excited about the NIT. I'll say that. I just think it's going to be a cool opportunity to see some of these teams that Southern Miss never gets to play. And who knows?
It's like UAB. That'd be pretty... That'd be a bummer.
You see, yeah, that's why I'm hoping it's kind of somebody. Like a Providence. But then, yeah, we also kind of want to be able to travel to it. So, yeah, if it's Providence or somebody, we don't want to be traveling to Providence.
That ain't happening.
Even if it's UAB, that's still like an old rival that Southern Miss used to play a lot.
I know, but
that kind of thing interests me.
It'd be cooler to play like Morehead State or something.
So, yeah, so I think somebody, the projections are all over the place right now.
Play like Clemson.
I saw like Colorado, I think, on one of them.
Clemson's one thing. Morehead State.
I would love, and Mississippi State's still in the SEC tournament, but I just want to see like Southern Miss face up against somebody in the SEC. Cause
especially in state, that'd be kind of cool.
Yeah, too. I mean, we got to see Vanderbilt, and Vanderbilt's actually pretty good. Yeah. Turned out to be pretty good towards the end of the season, so I kind of want to see them go against another SEC team. Just, you know, keep it local and then go against somebody they usually don't go against.
I think State played themselves into the big tournament, though, today.
Maybe.
I know, everybody's
they gotta play Bama, so they gotta have to play Bama. See how good they can compete against Bama now.
I know Mr. Bracketology, Joe Lenardi, said that they basically be in with a win today, and they won today against Florida. So
that was a big win.
Yeah, no kidding. Yep.
Yeah,
that's basketball.
Speaking of brackets, we will have a 4th Street bracket out on Sunday night that you can enter into and fill out your bracket. We're all going to enter in our bracket. We're only going to do one entry, and we're going to do it so you can be free to join us. So watch out on social media for that. The winner of that, we are going to invite on the show for an interview.
If you want to come, like if you just want to come chill with us.
Yeah. Dima, you said you'd give them a cash prize too, right?
Yeah, it's a $1.5 million cash prize out of Jackson.
Hold up. We
out of
can't
Jackson
be sued.
Howell's bank account.
Oh, yes. I was about to say.
All right, IOU.
So
only have $3.
It's coming straight from Chuck Cook too.
Yeah, that's what I was about to say. Nah, I don't think
he's
going to
sponsor
happy.
That one.
I'd be thankful.
Student Media sponsored.
Yeah. So be looking for that, and be looking for our coverage. We're not going to have a podcast next week. I don't know. We may do one. It depends on where Storm goes for the NIT. We may do like I might do like a quick 20-minute preview. You know. Something like that. So be looking. We'll keep you updated on social media. But we're on spring break next week, so we're not going to be pushed to push out content because I don't know if we'll get paid for it. So, but for now, thanks so much for listening to our Rapid Fire podcast here at Nathan's apartment.
Yes.
Nathan, we know you got to go, so we got to get out of here. So Nathan Lee to my left, Charlie Luttrell to my far right, and Jackson Howell, who's going to be giving you a $1.5 million cash prize if you win our bracket challenge.
Say psych right now.
And I'm Dima Mixon. Thanks so much for listening to 4th Street Sports Show. Follow us on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, wherever you get your social media. Find this podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever you get your podcasts. Go to our site, sm2media.com/sports, to find all of our coverage there, especially from this weekend from the weekend baseball series of Valparaiso. And we'll have an immediate reaction to the NIT selection on Sunday. And then go to our YouTube page at the Southern Miss Student Media. You'll find our instant reactions and interviews with Scott Berry and company there as well. So for now, for Nathan Lee, for Charlie Luttrell, for Jackson Howell, I'm Dina Mixon, and that was the 4th Street Sports Show.
Come back next Monday at 5 on Southern Miss Radio. 4th Street Sports, baby.